Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast, number 80. It's finally happened.
Cat.
You're going to just say it 80 times. To put into perspective how many
the
wins it
is back.
You should have to say it 80 times 80 to start times. The podcast.
Like, so, or you should count to like 1,800 and whatever it is since the last time he's won.
Well, the cheesiest or kind of cheapest way to think about it, I think, is, you know, we spent all weekend at the web.com tour championship. And those guys are like grinding their dicks off to win one time on the PGA Tour. Like, one time is an absolute life changer for them on the PGA Tour. The Cats won 80 times. Like 80.
Just on the PGA
Tour. Just on the PGA Tour.
Not to mention
like it's just
elsewhere.
Like, whatever you say about him, you know, like, oh, well, you know, here's a stat that puts his career in perspective. It's like, no, it doesn't.
No.
Like, it's just, you can never put into perspective just how impressive he is.
It almost felt, I mean, the whole season has been a like a kind of build to this happening. It doesn't feel surprising at all. I think once we got to what was the point, I guess, that you guys reached where you had accepted that he was going to win a tournament this year?
I mean, I think it felt like a foregone conclusion for me after Bay Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of the one that, you know, Valspar
a bit fluky,
yeah,
maybe.
He played well, but
been.
Hey, it was maybe it was lightning in a bottle. And then for him to come back, I don't know if it was the week after or, you know, 2 weeks after, but for him to come back and just play that well that soon, it's just like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
He's back.
I don't even know if I thought it was going to be this year. Like, I kind of written it off as like, it's going to happen eventually. I don't know when, but.
Yeah. Seeing him play in the majors was like, okay, yeah, his game is good. Like, visually, his swing looks good.
Conditions are really tough.
Can you tell the story? I feel like we reference that all the time.
Well, it's just it's
like most things for you. It's a clip from Jim
like
Rome.
That's, Tiger
well,
Bob.
Rome plays it. Yeah, but it's really it's a real clip. I forget the setting. I could look it up while we're talking. But essentially, the clip is Tiger. Somebody asked him like how he doing or what he thinks for the term. He goes, swing looks good.
My swing.
No,
feels
sorry.
Good.
Oh, I just messed it up. Yeah. The course looks good. My swing feels good. I like my chances. And Rome would just play it over and over.
This
and
was
over
right
again.
Around the same time where he was talking about being, you know,
being
flushing it on the range and being able to be Ranger, like take Ranger Rick.
I just need
Rick
to be Ranger
out
Rick out there.
I just need to be Ranger Rick out there on the course.
Yeah,
it's
you
just
guys
like
say
really
that,
robotic.
Yeah, that's like 60% of what you guys say.
Yeah.
I don't say this to, like, toot my own horn because I have terrible, terrible cat takes all the time. But like,
R.I.P. cat.
Yeah. I was up in Atlanta last week and my mom was like, when do you think Steyer's going to win? And I was like, I think he's probably going to win this week. Like,
I hadn't won the BMW. Like, I thought it was going to actually happen that week. I mean, it's amazing how fast we've gotten back into this world where it's not crazy to see him up at the top of the leaderboard.
Well, that's a really good point. Is that I don't think like that's maybe the weirdest part of this is like how not weird it feels. You know, like it's been 5 years since this happened. I'm kind of like, oh yeah, no, like yeah, like of course he won. Like,
but there's
he's super good.
Think about where you were 5 years ago personally.
I don't want to
just put things in perspective.
The last one was at Akron, right?
Yeah, Bridgestone 2013.
But I was at Akron.
It's more like your life situation.
For sure.
Hey,
yeah.
listen, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be a downer here or anything, but that was also a limited feeling.
I was waiting for this one to come.
That's a good take.
I was waiting for this to come.
And that's what I wanted to get into that. I mean, it's like he beat 29 other guys.
Half
28 and a half if we're, you know,
after.
Ricky, of course, is not a not a viable threat.
Half of them were checked out after Friday in the heat.
It's also the hardest turn. The Masters is a limited field event.
Well, so we were spending a lot of time this week with Max Homa, and I kind of was floating a take. I'm like, gosh, you know, like, respectfully, no one respects the cat more than I do. You know, I promise. But, like, I would rather have his first win come at, like, the Masters. Like, that would be cool. And Max is like, no. You don't understand. Like, the Tour Championship is the hardest event to win. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, no. Like, think about how hard it is to qualify for the Tour Championship and then to win. He's like, it's the hardest event to win. I'm like, ah, all right, that's kind of a good take.
Be able to qualify for the Tour Championship. I think the fact that he qualified is almost more impressive.
Yeah, dude, that's a good
take.
Than
the fact that he won, because especially playing a limited schedule the first half of the year.
What in the Masters, there's what, 60 competitive players in
realistic.
The Masters? Like real, yeah. Probably 40 guys that can actually win it. I mean, at least everybody that shows up the Tour Championship has earned it that season and is like, can win the Tour Championship.
For sure.
Like, quite literally anyone. So I caught, there was some of that going around on Twitter. Like, it just doesn't feel right. This is his first tournament win. And I was like, what a world that we live in that we could be like, you know what? Tiger coming back and winning, it's got to be win.
Hey, well, listen, I'm not saying it's a good take. I'm just saying it's a take.
I'm glad that it was this and not the Hero World Challenge.
Sure. For sure.
That would have
been
awkward.
That's kind of what it was last time with shout out to Chevron. I know you guys are big oil guys. Randy's deep in with big oil.
Drill, baby, drill.
But yeah, last time it was that exact situation. It was like the first post-scandal win was he beat the shit out of your boy Zach Johnson at the Chevron World Challenge.
Was that when ZJ dumped it in the water and then
hold it
for par?
Yeah, I think they went to a playoff.
Yeah, I think
or maybe that was against Graham McDowell. I don't. All the Chevron World Challenges kind of run together in my head.
I can't remember. There's bigger things he's won, bigger things he's played for, but I can't remember ever seeing.
Are there though? Because Rich Lerner on the post game just said he thinks this is the greatest moment of his career.
I would listen to that take. I wouldn't brush it off.
I think when he wins a major next,
had this been at the Masters. I can listen to that.
Well,
but
what do you put this like up against like the 97 Masters? Like, do you think
so much of his career though was being this indestructible guy? Like, so once he did all this stuff and kept doing it, it was remarkable, but not that remarkable that he kept doing
it. Expected
it to get torn all the way down, both physically and emotionally, and from just a public embarrassment standpoint. To the point where even himself, there's no way he thought he was coming back to this and have being written off by all these people. Like, yeah, that's compelling as hell. Like that is like
for sure. For sure.
Like, Randy, let me flip the question to Randy. How many times do you think you'd wait if we fused two of your vertebrae together right now?
Well, do I get access to the special doctors or no?
The really special doctors.
And you get unlimited range access too. That's the other thing. Our mutual friend, Big Play Ray, always said that was the only thing that kept him off the tour was not having unlimited range access.
No, I'm just thinking like his win in 97 is, for me, it's
rare,
more
rare,
important.
Yeah.
It's more historical.
Oh, it's,
I
don't agree with Rich Lerner.
Does
I'm
this
saying
actually
I would
equate
to
his win at the PGA in 99?
Oh, that's a pretty good
when
take.
When he hadn't won in 2.5 years, he rebuilt his swing, and everybody's like, oh, what's wrong with Tiger? He came on the scene, he burst on the scene. Is he actually for real? And then he wins, and then that sets off.
Or even like the 07-08, like after his dad died, and he kind of like was low point. Then he basically like a lot of people forget. I think that his winning percentage in like late 06-07-08 was like better than it was in 2000. Like,
yeah.
It was nuts.
He just thinking back to 97 in that Masters. What if the equipment didn't change in the way that it did? Like that was in the last of the antiquated equipment era. Where it's an old ball, the wound ball hadn't been put into play yet, and the big drivers weren't there yet, and he beat like people by 12. And like I know he won the US Open in 15, like by 15 a few years later, that's when like the equipment was starting to change. And, like everyone started to somewhat be able to catch up to him. Like, what if it never changed? Like, what if it didn't get there? How many
a lot of
these
people
would
ask
won?
That, I think a lot. Like we were talking about the equipment and whatever, and you know, if things never changed, like, you know, or if they rolled back this or rolled back that, like, who would be the best player? It's like, dude, like Tiger
would favor him even more.
For sure. He'd be even better than he is now.
Yeah.
I mean, for how many like half-baked ideas we throw out, like one that I definitely would have thrown out, I was like, oh, they should let the crowd walk up the 18th.
That was cool.
I never thought they would actually do that. Like, what's the approval
process? I can't imagine how many PGA Tour meetings.
Just, yeah.
People just broke containment.
Yeah.
Started bucking their heads in the air. Yeah.
But dude, that was like what like I will remember that 5 years from now. What other moment in the last 4 or 5 years has happened that you'll like totally remember off the top of your head? Like that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Not many. I mean, that was awesome. I'm cool. There's a lot of cool.
Yeah,
it's a cool moment.
It makes me mad.
There's a lot of cool people that work for the tournament that put in a ton of hard work for this tournament and stuff.
I think it's like the
cool
epicenter of the live under par stuff. And that's just, it's like a reward for all of that.
Well, how
it's
about,
like a vindication.
Yeah.
And
well,
like,
how about him getting
backed off the chip
on 17?
It had nothing to do with any of that. You know, it's like
people
just right place, right time.
Too far under par.
It was it's funny. It's amazing how much the tour is getting in their own way, yet got the break of a lifetime. That the new system that goes in place next year wasn't in place for this year. Because if it was for this year, Justin Rose would have won the tournament and the FedEx Cup.
Well, what do you have, though? It would have been close. Well, I mean, Tiger beat him by what? Like, it would have been close.
I'm pretty sure that was the case. I don't think Tiger would have won. Tiger wouldn't have won the FedEx Cup because it's basically supposed to be like whoever wins the FedEx Cup also wins the tournament.
Right.
So I don't think that he would. It would have been really close, but... But yeah, like it's
what was the
imagine
how
if that
many
would
back
happen.
Would Tiger have been?
I don't care enough about this new system to know the answer to that. I wish I did, but
let's just imagine
that happened.
Yeah,
like that would be absolutely absurd. His first win back in the tour like took it away from him. Basically,
that'd be sick, amazing. That'd be chaos.
Yeah, well, listen, so, as a huge fan of chaos, that would have been cool. But how do we just under the current system? I don't mean to steer the conversation. I know this is a very cat centric podcast, but. How do we feel about Justin Rose lagging it to 6 inches to win $10 million?
To shoot 73.
I mean, I think that's the perfect summation
cool
of the FedEx Cup.
And how about him calling it a death march or slow death? It was a slow death out there.
Justin, like, he tapped in and he's like, I can only go by what I saw on TV, but it looked like he mouthed a lot of sorries to the fans in the gallery, which is kind of a class act. Yeah.
That was kind of, I mean, I'm not a big Justin Rose fan. I don't think many of us sitting here really are, but I was like, all right, that's kind of cool.
Justin
I think
Rose.
It's kind of like, we're moment. Not like anti-Justin Rose, but it's just.
We're just not pro-Justin Rose.
Yeah. You know,
is that fair?
He's just very, very English.
That's which is quite okay.
I don't hate
him because he's English.
No, I love Brits.
That's
but he's
a racist
like, he's like
take.
The smug. He's like the smug English guy, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Which, luckily, no one's
said
ever
earlier,
said that
like,
about
is
Americans.
It, is it possible to be the number one player in the world or number one in the world at something and be smug?
That was a good take, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I said, if you're literally the best in the world, is it smug or are you just like accurate about yourself?
So, and I respect
you gave
his
me
story.
A lot,
like,
you gave me a lot to think about.
He missed, a million cuts in a row to start his career and... You know, like,
dude, no one like works harder.
Yeah,
I think that's like you.
Matty
you've
Kelly
been
always tells me he's like, listen, like Justin Rose, he sets up his schedule every year. He practices to be the number one player in the world. Like
and
that means something to him, and the fact that he set his mind to that and did it.
And Rose has found like the perfect balance of like being in that you just need to be long enough crew. Like he's top 20% probably in driving distance, but not the longest. But he is. Hits the ball so freaking far and far enough and then prides himself on being like the best iron player maybe in the world. According to Sean Foley, which I overheard once at the Memorial, a top four iron player that has ever lived.
Dude, I think legitimately that might be hard to argue. Well, like, he's really so good.
He is really good, but I would think the top four iron player of all time
but
would have won
granted,
more than one
the
major.
The flip side of that argument is like there's a lot of players that have lived.
I have a question. I have a question for the group.
Sure.
So right now,
the floor is yours.
Race to Dubai. Patrick Reed is the number two player in the race to Dubai.
That might be a flaw.
Was that a question? Was that a question?
Are we going to be sitting here after the?
Is he going to go play it?
It's like the DP World,
the DP World Championship.
Yeah. I don't even know, but yeah, I mean, I assume he's going to go play it. Like you know, you get it's like a $5 million prize pool.
When is it?
It's like in late November.
Early December. Yeah.
What made you think of that?
Yeah.
we're sitting here talking about this arbitrary fake, you know, cash giveaway, like basically a way to distribute.
Yeah.
A bonus.
This massive pool of money that's like, you know, that makes it still merit based.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, all right, what are the other ways that they do that within golf? And
This is not FedEx Cup season. This is how would you change the FedEx Cup season? Like every year, it's just that's all. Anyway, like they should do this, but like, have we thought through what the answer is? What should they do at the end of the year? I don't necessarily have. I mean, I think match play for like the final six or eight guys during the week, prime time on TV would be incredible. But
I agree. And I think the only thing is like, well, it's tough to televise. And like, that's the issue. It's like, okay, well, whose perspective are you doing it
well,
for?
Well, that's the thing.
Viewers,
I think, yeah,
or
exactly.
To determine the best player, because I think they are at odds a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that, like, to your point, Randy, I think we need to couch this entire conversation on like, look, like we're not coming at this from the perspective of TV executives. Like, we're coming at this from just four guys who were drinking beers on the couch watching. And like, you know, what would you rather watch, this or this? And yeah, if it's me, and like today's final round is Rory versus Tiger 18-hole match play, like I can
like
tell you
for $10 million.
Like, yeah. Would that be something you're interested in? Well, or,
you
or
mentioned
not?
Like your comparison of like not thinking like a tour exec and being four guys on the couch drinking beers. It's like it would also like kind of pay eventually to think like somebody at home watching it. Like,
well,
would
maybe.
I want to watch?
Well,
this?
Yes or no.
It's
like, it's
worked for us. Well, that's how we approach it.
But that's the thing is like yes or no. It's yes and no. I guess it's like yes, the fans want to see this, but like if somebody won't pay for it, then it doesn't matter. So it on some level, yeah. Like of course it has to come back to the fan wants to see X, but. There's like a weird stopgap in between where it's like, yes, the fan wants to see this, but nobody will pay for it. So I need to lean on the sponsors to do this.
That's all relative, though. Like they just gave away
for
how
sure.
much money,
yes. Oh,
and they're
course.
Giving away even more next year. And it, like, the
$75
pretty proven,
million.
Allegedly.
Cool. It's proven that playing for a ton of money isn't compelling.
I'm gonna flip this back at every given chance to the Web.com Tour Championship, which No Laying Up was sponsoring heavily,
proud
not
sponsor.
Not heavily. That's yeah.
Well,
that's a
not heavy enough
term.
To win the small business of the year award that
yeah.
they presented,
which we're gonna be gunning for next year.
Yeah.
But like we were all sitting in the bar today watching, you know, watching these guys fighting for cards, and I'm like, dude, this is like this guy, and I can explain to my wife, you know, hey, this guy has a 6-footer on 18. And if he makes it, he has a PGA Tour card next year. And if he misses it, he doesn't. And we're all on the edge of our seats like, oh, my gosh, this is insane. Whereas like, oh, yeah, either Tiger, who has all of the money, or Justin Rose, who has just barely less than all of the money, is going to win this arbitrary prize that, like, you know.
Which
with like some arbitrary number of commas in it, like,
and, but like even the web guys will tell you, it's like, well, yeah, those guys like deserve it. That's not your case. It's like, it's
yeah,
not like,
sure.
But it is
yeah,
like
yeah.
way more compelling.
But I think like
it's like that, that's why they make, that's what they try to make it. That's what they try to bring into the equation to make it compelling to the outsiders, where it's like,
well, it's
hey,
hard
this is
because,
what they're,
yeah.
these are the stakes. This is what they're playing for. And it's like, no, I get that, but it's all relative. And the fact is, you know, the guys at the Web Tour Championship, they're playing for basically the right to go make, you know, the minimum they're going to make next year is like $500,000. They have the
yeah,
which is a
terrible
amazing.
Season. Yeah. Yes. You know, and it's like, that's all relative. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, the rich get richer kind of thing. And I don't begrudge any of.
For sure.
You know, I think the top guys in golf, they probably don't make
well, that's
as much as they should relative
yes.
to everybody
yeah, yeah,
else.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And that's the thing is like, I'm not even like shitting on the whole scenario like at all. Like I get completely that these guys are in incredibly high demand for their time and their appearances and their scheduling and all of that. And it's like, you know, on one hand, it's like you gotta pay these guys exorbitant amounts of money to get them to show up and to get them to care and to do that. But on the other hand, it's like, dude, that doesn't mean like
we should
viewers
care.
Have to care about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. And it's like, dude, there's gotta be a happy medium, or there's gotta be something in the middle where it's where somehow we're making both people happy. Because
I think this is the happy medium though. Cause like before this was just like before the FedEx Cup was just a fall series that nobody
the tour
played
championship.
Or cared about.
I mean, well, I remember going to the Tour Championship when it was like Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
And nobody yeah, it had
in
to be so
high school.
Dead.
And it was, you know, guys would be like 40 shots off the lead. Yeah. It was awful. Yeah. Awful.
So that's kind of where I stand with it. It's like, all right, what they've done is better than
I
what
agree.
They had.
Completely.
And like,
yes.
I will tune in if like there's compelling stories going on.
Yes.
And if not, I'll tune out. And that's like, I think that's a fair, I don't think they can do something to make me be like, this is appointment television.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's fair.
Real, like a realistic.
Realistic. Yeah. Like, well, it's a consistency thing. Like, I don't think they can do something that's going to guarantee every year it is the best thing possible.
Yeah.
Do they have, like, does the tour have, like, PTSD from the 1 year that the match play was, like, Kevin Sutherland and Pate, and it was, like, 62 versus 64 was in the finals? Yeah. And I'm like, because I just look at this, and I'm like, all right, like, even if it was, you know, if you have the top six or the top eight guys competing in match play, like, it's really not going to be all that different from
Can manipulate it to give guys like a bye or a double bye who have finished, you know, one through whatever.
Well, I think the, again, I am absolutely not suggesting anything. Let me preface that with this. I have no idea if this would work. I'm sure there's a million reasons why it wouldn't. But like the most popular suggestion that I've seen on Twitter and whatever, which is where all great ideas come from, is you know, just having 36 or 54 holes of stroke play and just making Sunday like your four-person shootout.
Yeah.
You know, for the $10 million, to where it's like, dude, you still have a legitimate tournament. You still have enough players to make it so that it's competitive, to where, you know, somebody's not going to run away with it. And even if they do, if they run away from three other guys who are playing their best golf, then it's compelling.
Yeah.
No, so what I don't understand is, you know, you can have your FedEx Cup, you know, race all through the regular season, and then you get to the playoffs, right? And then that fourth event, the Tour Championship, I think everybody should just be at zero. Like, why don't they just wipe the slate clean? And so whoever wins the tournament that week wins the FedEx Cup.
Well, I think it would be the whole thing about how, first of all, it's such an exorbitant amount of money that, like, who was, I don't even know, who was number, like, 27 or 28 or 30 or Leash. Whatever. Like, Leash or...
No disrespect to Patton Kazire, but if he, like, wins the FedEx Cup,
or Aaron Wise or whatever, where it's like, yeah, obviously they had a great year, like, they made the Tour Championship, but, oh, hey, congratulations, like, we're going to give you $10 million. I know Bryson just won two playoff events and two other events and whatever, but, like, sorry, that's not good enough. Like, I obviously, like, I completely get what you're saying.
I know. It is them just trying to have it both ways, but it's like, okay, then don't even invite those guys. Like, I don't know. Like, that doesn't make it, as a viewer, again, as purely a viewer, like, it just seems like a really stupid way to do it.
The problem is the whole thing's contrived.
Yeah.
Like, that's the deal. And, and I think it comes down to, I do applaud the tour for doing a bonus for the regular season. Because golf...
Going forward.
Starting
now.
Yeah. So
10 years
million
into
yeah.
it.
And I agree. And I love that. That's really good.
Because that's the whole thing with, all right, like, that's the argument against, or one of the arguments against doing it the way that you suggested, is like, hey, it renders the regular season worthless. And then people can say, oh, well, you're not going to get into the Tour Championship if you don't play well in the regular season.
All right, let's take a quick minute to talk about the new Stars and Striped Chrome Soft Truvis golf ball that Callaway just released. It's one of the coolest golf balls I've seen. It's got Callaway's popular Truvis pattern in patriotic red, white, and blue design. Very fitting since all of Callaway's...
Turcotron here, too, talk about... there's also a Euro version as well.
We're going to get to that. Are you even playing... You are playing the Stars and Stripe ball. I've never seen you play the Euro ball.
It's because Chad refuses to send me the other ones.
Yeah, he's not going to enable traders like you. Yes, okay.
That's why I'm here to talk about it.
We have video of Tron playing the Stars and Stripe Truvis, which we are going to roll on repeat when he's rooting for the Euros next week. But the ball features everything you love about the performance of Chrome Soft, including the graphene-infused outer core, allowing Callaway to engineer an incredible-feeling ball, low spin off the tee with increased shot-stopping spin around the green. We're giving away a bunch of these in the Ryder Cup contest that we're hosting this week. Go to our Twitter profile at the top of the page there and check that out. They're offered in limited quantities and available for purchase at select retailers online. Visit CallawayGolf.com for more info and be sure to pick up yours before they're gone. Let's get back to the podcast.
Go Europe.
The crazy thing is going to be, I guarantee you a year from now you could pull, you know, all the golf fans in the world and, like, who is going to, like, you're going to be like, who won the Tour Championship? Like, oh, Tiger, like, for sure. Okay, we have one more question. Who won the FedEx Cup last year? God, who was it? And it's like, it just seems so, like, ass backwards. Like,
and not only did he win the FedEx Cup, on the same day he wins the FedEx Cup, he loses his number one ranking.
That's wild.
That's wild, man.
That's wild, man.
So it just seems like, yeah, it's like, okay, if you want to make it this FedEx Cup, this whole thing, season-long playoffs, such a big, like, no one's going to remember who won it like a year from now. It's so stupid. Well, let me, not to put you guys on the spot, but who won the last three FedEx Cups before this year?
Oh, I can do this. I can do this.
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy.
Rory, and then, what was that, 15? Spieth.
Yes.
Before that was
Stenson.
Stenson. Before that was Horschel.
No, Horschel was 14. Stenson was 13.
Okay.
You guys are sick.
Yeah.
12. The only reason I know this is because I was at all of them. 2012. Was...
11 was Haas. Furyk was 10.
No, I don't. I retract the question. Okay. I don't care anymore.
I guess my thing is.
I couldn't have told you JT won it last year. And I certainly am not the biggest. I'm a very big golf fan.
So it's just a weird situation because people like us who know, who follow the tour incredibly closely and have friends that are like, a lot of our friends are the people who are grabbing these FedEx Cup points that like nobody else really gives a shit about. And like how you make people give a shit about, you know, who finishes seventh at the Valero Texas Open. Like, fuck, I don't know how you do that. Like, that's incredibly difficult.
So it's almost go the other way. That. Like, you can't. That's an unsolvable problem.
I agree with you.
So it's almost like just,
I would go,
I feel like
go
this
the
whole thing
way.
Is a mechanism for distributing a lot of money in a in a relatively merit-based way. So I'm almost to the point where it's like, just do that off to the side under the table, or just, you know, just publicize it over here and just don't have this whole thing.
It's almost like baseball. Like we were kind of joking around, Randy, like, you know, when you win a World Series, I was kind of joking, like, you know, oh, well, like you win a ring. And Randy's like, well, no, like you still win like a giant cash bonus. Just like nobody ever talks about it.
That's a good point.
And like there's nothing like that in golf. And I think that, again, like I don't blame anybody involved in this entire situation, because it's like I would do the exact same thing. But like with the FedEx Cup, it's like, no, like we don't want to focus on the money for the exact reason like they don't want to focus on the World Series bonus payouts. Like they want to focus on like here's the trophy that you won. And I just like, man.
But when you call it the FedEx
Cup. Well, right. But even that is like, well, how do you do that without getting a brand to pay for it? Like, it's all giant.
It's all contrived.
It's just
a big circle.
It's a huge circle that, like, I don't know where it starts or ends. Time is a flat circle. I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, I got a lot of thoughts here, but it's probably not the time or place.
We're not going to solve the FedEx Cup.
By the way, Tiger won today.
Yes, I was going to say. Like,
let's circle back.
That was a lot
and hey,
of publicity.
Joey makes some money.
Joey makes some money. Yeah.
So what do the question?
Do we
want to
dive into
got,
questions?
We got a couple questions. A lot of them are kind of more of the along the lines of jokes than they are.
Damn it, people! This is a serious golf podcast.
Bryson's T-shirt, discuss. It said "Beat Europe."
I think it's great.
That was wonderful.
Like,
Bryson,
you know,
Bryson continues
that.
To be a very bright spot in the game.
Guys, that's bulletin board material for my guys over in Europe.
Well, all right. So this is a question, and I'm so glad that this part of the season is on us, where people, you know, somebody makes a bogey, and then the tweet comes of, "Hey, are you worried about so and so for the Ryder Cup?" But like, do you guys put any stock in where somebody finishes this week?
0.0%.
I can't believe that people still do this.
Unless the guy absolutely can't find the club face.
However, Tiger finished, what, like 25 strokes ahead of Phil this week?
Like that's kind of sick.
That's kind of sick.
That's disgusting, but like that stuff happens week to week, and this course looks nothing like Le Golf National is going to look like. It's not the same environment.
It's just like
Phil needed some, like once Phil didn't have any juice to play for. Like I'm not worried about him specifically.
No. Like, it's just, I don't know. It comes back to the same point. Like, look, I'm probably biased about this, but it comes back to the same way I feel about captain's picks or anything, where it's like, dude, just pick whoever you think is like a gamer that's going to show up on like a big stage. I don't care what they did in February, and I don't care what I don't care what their points. I don't care what they're like in the locker room. Like, just fucking pick somebody who's like going to play well on a huge stage. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
because all these guys, everyone from whoever, I don't even, fuck, who's number one in the world now? Dustin Johnson, or who took over Justin Rose's spot?
DJ.
Whoever's number one in the world to whoever's number 200 in the world, like game-wise, over 18 holes, they're pretty close.
Yes.
Like, they're really close. And it's kind of like almost a statistical coin flip who's going to beat each other over 18 holes. And it's like, dude, just like, yeah, I'm not worried about what Phil did.
I'll beg to differ on
that
last
point.
What Phil
did Thursday at East Lake. Like, I don't care.
It's far from a statistical
coin. The Ryder Cup purely being random. I love that.
But yeah, I mean, Tiger is one this week and can go 0-3. Easily, like without a doubt, and Phil can go 2-1-1, and that, well, like, neither of those results would surprise me.
If you like
me.
Believe in like regression to the mean, like that's where
in,
they would try. Like Tiger's going to trend down, Phil has to trend up,
and it takes a lot of energy to win a golf tournament.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, the best tweet I saw today was somebody said like, "Hey, like Phil and Reed are at the bottom, and Sergio's in the top 10 in Portugal. Are you worried?" I was like, Sergio didn't make these playoffs. Like, he's playing a European tour event. It's a long way gone.
Hey, you know, I'm glad to see Sergio playing well.
Well, do you guys think Webb's win at the Players back in May, do you think that's going to give him a lot of momentum going back into these Ryder Cups?
Listen, the point system is a disgrace. However, I said this on the podcast with Job. I'm cool with Webb. I got confidence.
No,
in
I
Webb.
Just I was looking up at the TV and I saw his name on the leaderboard.
Listen, if the if I wasn't
Bubba's the issue there.
If I wasn't going to watch the tournament, I'd be totally cool with Webb. The fact that I have to watch Webb swing, that's why I'm not cool with Webb.
I think we determined today that Webb leads the tour in strokes gained, swing looking awful. I think that's very fair to say. It works. He had an incredible
season. Yeah, I
kind of
like that.
He had a monster season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just looks ugly.
So, well, sometimes, to be fair, it's like guys like Bryson and Steve Stricker, like, sometimes I literally don't know how they, like, hit the balls.
Well, you know what's kind straight. Of a take? You know what's kind of a take is, like, I feel like we forgive bad backswings and we don't forgive bad downswings.
Yeah. It's the follow through.
It's the follow through. Like, Webb's backswing is beautiful. Yeah. Like, if you pause his swing at the top, he's like, he's perfect.
Yeah. Or,
but he's
Rom,
just
like, we don't
whipping it
on
through is like, oh, God, that's
or
gross.
Kevin Chappell.
Yeah. Your boy.
Dude, I love it.
On some of the questions, Chris Arkwright asked about Tiger, is this the greatest comeback in sports history? I don't know enough about sports history.
That's a long history. It kind of goes back to what
we said
at the beginning.
Can we say golf history? Greatest comeback?
Ben Hogan got hit by a fucking bus. Almost died.
First of all, it's Mr. Hogan.
Mr. Hogan. And he won the U.S. Open.
He took a boat over and won the Open Championship.
I don't know.
Carnoustie. I don't know enough about history, but...
I don't think Ben Hogan had quite as good a doctor.
I'm gonna give that the Joaquin Phoenix Gladiator thumbs down on that one. I don't know how you feel.
I forget where I saw this one, but is 19 in play?
Yeah,
19 majors.
I think Tiger wins.
Oh, 19. Sorry, I think 15.
Yeah,
I mean,
15.
I think he definitely wins
much more
two
in play
more,
than it was.
He wins two more British Opens. He's always gonna be in contention at Augusta. He sets up really well for Pebble next year, and it's just a matter of like getting hot at the right time.
Well, you know what would be a good stat is how many times has he won more than one in a year?
2000, 2002, 2005, 2006. Those are the years.
Infrequently.
Yes.
In other words. So he's, what, five short? So basically he has to have like 2.5 career years at the age of 39 or 4. Or no, what is he?
He's 42. Right now.
Yeah, 42. Like that's
19's a lot.
Well, that's
19's a lot. Yeah.
That seems more than Rory. Like five.
I think he's
going to
scare 18. I think 19 is like that's.
But here's here's 16, the question. It's probably not. I feel bad bringing it up in the wake of his win, but it's like, could the back go at any like how solid is the back?
Sure.
How solid is
know.
The body? I just don't know.
Well, it's not even just the back. It's the knee and the Achilles.
Right.
And
right.
Like all, it's everything. Like
I don't feel comfortable talking about. This
there are some things I think we would
I can't say certain stuff without being
I agree
sued for libel or slander or whatever.
I mean, I think 16 is realistic. 19
totally,
is so freaking 19 many,
so many,
and
so he needs to win five, which is how many does Phil have?
Phil's career
five. So as long as he has Phil's career on like with a fused back
on
his third
Ricky
knee
have?
On like
how many does Ricky have?
I gotta look. I don't have my computer in front of me.
That's a question from Tucker Fox. Is Randy satisfied with Ricky's finish?
No, I take no satisfaction from it. It is what it is.
What was his finish?
I don't know, tied for fifth, maybe, or sixth.
What do we think of, on Sunday?
What do we think of Rory's finish today?
That's, yeah, how have we not talked about that yet? That was a disgrace.
I want to recuse myself from this, from the conversation.
It was a disgrace.
It wasn't good.
I love Rory. I think, you know.
Nobody loves Rory more than Trout.
He was a thrower, not a pitcher today.
Per usual.
Does
Rory look skinny?
That's what people are saying. I didn't really notice it.
He stopped doing the heavy lifting like a year ago, right?
Cat looks a bit skinny. Cat claims he's a bit skinny.
Cat looks healthy.
Yeah, he's going to get back. Like, to
he does. That's, sure. That's kind of like the...
Which is good.
Yeah, for sure. That's like one of the underrated things about the comeback.
I haven't read the transcript yet, but I'm sure he was like, you know, how are you going to prep for the Ryder Cup? Well, you know, I'm going to get a couple good gym sessions in before I enter to Paris.
Yeah, I have a weight room on my plane. I'm going to lift on the way over.
Here's a good one from Net Par Golf. How rewarding was today for Duval, Singh, and Els? Today, Rory and the rest got a taste of what they fought their entire careers.
That seems like a straw man take. Well, I like that take.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, theoretically, sure. I do think it's interesting that you have guys, so many guys who grew up just absolutely revering Tiger are now directly competing against him.
And they've been begging for it. Right. They're like, hey,
And really haven't gotten a taste of anything close to Tiger. Yeah. So it's interesting from that standpoint.
And they still haven't gotten...
But it's kind of interesting.
I get it. I respect it. But he had, what, like a 3 or 4 shot lead coming in to Sunday? It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not today specifically. I mean, more in general.
I think that's my issue.
I think coming up, like if you give him a full off season of being of health to prepare and work on stuff like this, I still feel like everything he's done, all of this in spite of the circumstances. If you give him a full 4 or 5 months to, you know, like he shows up at Torrey and he's raring to go, and then he can keep polishing up his game for Augusta in April, and he shows up at Augusta and he's gonna, like, he might fuck people up.
Here's a question. If Tiger were, let's say Tiger were to like somewhat dominate the next 3-4 years, and then eventually he's got to retire, like he might,
well, that's
if he
re-dominates,
dude, he's gonna like kill the game when he does leave.
Yes, that's like a mega take.
Yeah.
That might be the macro
because you got all these like young guns who the tour has spent so much time prepping, like the next, and like, dude, one, they're gonna be like, well, they're not that good, like Tiger's kicking their ass, and then two, like, well, what's in the wake then? Like,
that's it.
God, I that's what I'm rooting for.
That's a mega take.
Car for the course is a great one. Over under
per you, first of all, per usual.
Over under 2.5 wins next season. That's the perfect number.
I think two is probably the
gosh. I'm gonna take
under official tour wins.
Yeah.
Does the hero count?
I'd say I'm counting the hero.
Oh, wow. No, well, hold on. Gone. Well, now that throws it all. I don't think Car for the Course would count the hero.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Then make it 3.5 then if you count the hero.
You know what? This is kind of an ancillary take to that, but it ties in a little bit. I want to see Cat add some tournaments to his schedule. I've said this in the past.
For sure.
Like, go play the John Deere. Or go play Harbortown. Or like, go play some places that you haven't historically played. Give back to the game a little bit, but also, like, they suit your game better than some of the other tournaments these days.
Yeah.
I'll
say under, but who knows?
I'll say under only because I think it's going to be two. I think two is like...
That's a hell of a year.
Not counting hero. I throw that out. That's a wild card. It's too unpredictable.
Like, I mean, he's going to play like about 15 events. So like three, like winning 20%.
That's what I mean. I think winning two is totally realistic and totally humongously impressive.
Is Tiger in the big four? Is it a big five? Talked about that.
Remember, like, that was a thing.
I want to be dead serious. Who's your big four right now? Because that goes back to what I was just saying.
Is like, it's all gone. Well, like, if Tiger's like this good now,
Tolly was saying,
here's the question.
It's over.
Here's the question. Throw all rankings out, all the points, anything that like tells you who is
basically
the best player.
Everyone's on like the gym class dodgeball line right now. Okay. You just pick guys.
Is Tiger Woods the best golfer in the world?
Yeah, he's my first pick, right?
Oh, well, I mean, what are we picking for? Like a one, like a, like a, just the, a 1 week.
I think it's a 1 week, like who can win.
I think it's however you want to define it.
Yeah.
It's like, who's the best at golf?
I think you're
world?
Like drafting for like the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
But it always depends on course.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
And that's where you can get kind of lost in it. But it's like, is well, Tiger the best at golf in the world?
Well, I guess let's back into it.
We made right, up the question. The, like, we can make up the parameters.
Who are the candidates? Like, who can we throw out?
Oh, anybody.
No, I
but
know.
Legitimately,
but
legitimately, there's probably five or six guys,
yeah,
right?
So JT, yeah. DJ,
Spieth,
Rose,
Rory.
I wouldn't put Spieth
Come
in
on,
there right now.
I wouldn't put Rory in there right now, in all honesty.
Well, you could not take him, but like he would be could
be
considered
the,
yeah,
the
best sure, golfer sure, in sure. the world.
Yeah, but I think right at this moment you're looking
Dustin, Brooks,
Tiger,
Brooks
Rose, and JT are probably the five.
You know
like,
what? I think it might be Brooks.
But is Brooks better?
Brooks might be the baddest hombre.
But is he better at golf just because he's won two of the biggest events?
Well, I guess that's like a philosophical question.
Well, I, no, this year. Yeah. But I mean, like, that's great. But like, if you were that great at golf, I would think like four other wins would come with it. You know what I mean? That's kind of the question.
That's why Brooks is awesome, is because he refuses to live under par.
Listen. Listen.
Like, low-key, I don't really trust DJ.
Yeah.
Like, he's.
I don't think anybody trusts DJ.
He might have the ultimate highest
for
gear.
Different reasons. Sure,
that's my least favorite question. Maybe in golf is who's when best, their is best. Who's best is best. I hate that. But the answer is probably DJ. I think. But
it's like I would kind of tend towards JT. But then you're like, all right, well JT can't really play over, like he can't play as much of a variety of different courses as some of these other guys.
See,
like he can't play over.
I almost think like Spieth's best. Is the best.
Dude, I definitely agree with that. Like,
oh, like their top gear, their I mean that's fair. But I'm talking like right now, you know.
Yeah.
If we were gonna plan an event on October 25th,
the October 13th reopening of Jack's Beach Municipal Golf Course.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone should come out.
a two day medal event.
You know who hasn't been mentioned?
Who? Ricky.
Yeah.
Oh sure. Yeah.
I don't think.
Well, no, I was gonna say if Tiger wins two tournaments next year, that's
Jason
like
Day
half
hasn't
of Ricky's
been mentioned.
Whole
Jason Day hasn't been mentioned.
Yeah, he hasn't been mentioned.
Patrick Reed hasn't been mentioned.
No, I mean I don't think you're gonna find anyone that's gonna say Ricky Fowler is the best golfer in the world.
No, I know. I'm beating a dead horse. Yeah.
all right, let's try to steer this home here with some talk. We've had a lot of Ryder Cup coverage on this podcast for the last several weeks, but haven't chatted with you guys much on who you guys, what you guys think is going to happen, how you see this playing out. We know who Tron's rooting for. he's made that very clear, but what are your expectations for this coming week? What's your viewing schedule is going to be like? Are you guys?
Well, that's what I need to. Can you educate me what the viewing window is?
I think it comes on at like 2 a.m.
Okay, well, I won't be up at 2 a.m. So, like, whatever's like around.
Randy, you used to wake up for like the Australian Open tennis. Like, we used to wake up together.
Well, there are certain things I'll get out of bed for.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, speaking for my associate Randy, is like, what matches do you see at like 10:30, 11 a.m. Eastern time? Yeah. What do you think will be going on then? Because that's mostly what he's going to catch, I feel like.
I don't know. God, I'm loving, like, you know, it's just a statistical
coin flip. Look, it's not, I'm going to get roasted for that, I'm sure, but
I hope so.
Of course, it's not like exactly a coin flip. My point is that the top 100-ish players in the world, like over 18 holes is the smallest sample size possible. Like,
it is a little random.
Not even 18 holes.
It's pretty,
really.
Yeah, maybe not even. It's pretty fucking random. And of course, there, you know, who wants it more, Randy? You know, like, of course, we got to think about that.
But listen, like, if Tiger's playing Thorbjørn Olesen, it's probably like 65-35.
I don't know. Maybe not, dude. Like,
well, and that's where you like you can't know
Nicholas,
the human element.
What's
though, where,
Nicholas Coulthard's doing this week? Like, is he like a marquee player in the world? No, right. Like he's an incredibly good player, and he showed up at the right time. Like, it can happen. For sure. What's Keegan Bradley doing this week?
But the statistical nerds would tell you just because something like that happened doesn't mean that it was a coin flip. Like 35% chance of winning, you can still win. Like that
for
sure can happen.
Yes.
I'll say this in terms of, I don't know.
That's why I said not exactly a coin flip.
Not even at all a coin flip.
Well, of course, no one can know what will happen. We'll have to wait and find out. But what I hope does happen, I would rather have it be extremely close Sunday than for the U.S. to win in a blowout. Like, I just want to see drama.
Yeah. All I want to see is something interesting.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
16 was exciting for several reasons, but boring at the end. And, like, the celebration sucked.
Exactly.
Like, it was
it was anticlimactic
on
Sunday.
Lame.
I just want to be, like, sweating. And
yes.
Nervous.
That's all. Like, Medina was, like, the best Ryder
for
Cup.
For sure.
Even though the Euros won.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm looking forward to...
Like, the stakes are pretty low. That's the other thing is like, I don't want to sound un-American. Like, nobody loves America more than me. But if we lose, like, nobody gets executed. Like,
that would be sick.
That'd be a nice wrinkle.
I would rather. I'm with you. I'm saying the same thing. I just
give me
the more interesting, the better.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed that Rafa Cabrera Bayo didn't make the team.
I agree with
that.
That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, you need to talk to your boys.
Yeah. No, I will.
It's kind of on you.
I'm going over to Scotland. I'm not going to be. I'm leaving the country.
You're recusing yourself
for obvious reasons.
You're
going
to try to get to the bottom of it, I think.
Yeah, I'm going over to. I'm not going to France. I'm going to Scotland. I'm trying to.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm really excited to watch Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah,
I think he's like totally mad.
Charter member of the Opus Dei Society.
Exactly.
If we don't get
him versus Bryson in a singles match,
if we don't get that, what
are
we doing?
That's the thing. I feel like they should, the captains, Furyk and Bjorn, should get together on Saturday and say, hey, let's match this stuff up.
Are you calling for collusion?
Conscientiously.
That's
It'd be collision. Awesome.
Did you hear Bones on the podcast when talking about when he and Yarmo, when Phil and Yarmo got paired up together? He's like, yeah, this so-called random selection process. And sure enough, Phil and Yarmo get paired. I was like, oh, I'd like to listen to a take on that one.
It's a good take.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so quite like what's
like
the
I want to see Reed versus Rom.
That's what I was going to say. What's the one match you would be most interested to see?
I think Reed Rory 2.0 would be wonderful.
I think Tiger versus Rory.
We just saw that.
I know. In that arena and in Europe and
Tiger.
That.
Oh, Tiger's gonna get like
Tiger versus Tiger versus anybody.
Poulter Reed would be good.
Oh god, that'd be tremendous.
Tiger Poulter would be sick.
Rose Spieth.
Oh,
would
that'd be great.
Sergio Tiger would be good.
Yes.
Answer. Tiger beats him, 8-6.
Oh, this Ryder Cup's going to be incredible. That's what even people like, if you're worried about how anybody played the Tour Championship, like, okay, then bench those guys. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of other guys that can come in on both teams. Like,
I think Phil might be a three match guy.
There might be a take here in that, like, Thomas Bjorn has it easier than Furyk. Like, there's three guys on the European team that you're pretty safe to, they're definitely not going to play more than two team matches.
Definitely.
Whereas the U.S. team, it's like, God, who do we sit?
Who?
I
want you to name names.
I'll name. I don't have the list in front of me.
Allow me.
Yeah, I got the list right here.
I'll do it right here. I don't think
talking shit about my guys.
I don't think Torbjørn Olesen is playing more than two team matches. I'd be surprised
he's
by that.
Hot right now.
Though. Hatton, I wouldn't expect him to play more than two team matches. And Paul Casey, he's not been playing very well. How healthy is Henrik Stenson?
He's the one I would probably.
I didn't say Sergio. Yeah, Sergio's probably not playing more than two team matches.
You know what though, Sergio, it's top 10 at the Portugal Masters.
I'm saying that's easier.
Are you nervous?
It's easier to sit those guys than it is to like, all right, Bryson, you were captain's pick, but hey, you just came in, you just won two events. How do I sit you for two different sessions? Yeah. And I mean, honestly, who do you like for
sure?
Well,
some bigger
sit?
Personalities on the U.S. side, so
which
it makes it harder to.
Bubba, I think, has to sit at least two sessions. I would have to think. I mean, I'm sure. I'd be surprised.
I think you'd have to Phil hasn't shown much in a month.
And if
like, unless he shows up and he's like, "Yo, I'm making everything right now.
Right,
I feel great."
Yeah,
he's gonna say that,
and he might even he's
well,
gonna,
that's true, and he might be right though. That's the thing. That's kind of my point.
Phil wants to win more than he like wants to win because of him, though. Like, I think if he wants to play, he'll play once.
And didn't he sit once in the President's Cup because he like wanted to take?
Well, that's what I was gonna say.
He'll sit.
Legitimately trust him.
Yeah,
which sounds fucking stupid, but I would trust him to be like, "Yo, I can't go anymore. I'm going to leave it all on the field right now."
That's what happened in
2012. I know, exactly, but I agree. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They were 3-0, and he's like, I'm not playing in the last session. Like, I've given it all I have. Yeah. Like, let me rest for singles. So,
all right. Well, before we go here, this was a Tiger podcast.
Yeah.
allegedly, supposedly.
Well, I will say the best thing about Tiger, it kind of gets everybody fired up about golf.
For sure.
Again.
We were kind of we were kind of low energy. Now we're all, I feel like we're we're ready to go right now.
There's not much else we can say. Like he's but,
well, no.
So what just happened is Tiger just won for the first time in 5 years, and we're rolling into the best week. Not the best week in a year. The best week in 2 years. Yeah. Like Masters exciting, comes around every year. The Ryder Cup is the best.
And Tiger's looking for vindication for a relatively poor career.
He hasn't won a Ryder Cup since 99.
Yeah.
Well, my my question was going to be, before we go here, what's your favorite? This might be too big of a question, but what's your favorite Tiger memory? Because like, if you don't think like some memories are flowing as you're seeing all the gallery, like as he was like choking back tears. Yeah. I've never seen that before in my life.
I'm glad nobody turned around.
Are you looking for an earnest answer?
Yeah, I kind of am. Well, give me your joke
answer. I was going to give you glued
Randy,
activation.
Can you be serious for a minute?
Give me your joke answer.
I was
going to
give you glued
answer.
Activation. But
well, for sure. Listen, yeah. I think that's a four-way tie, unanimous tie.
I think when his dog had double ACL surgery, that might have been it.
Gosh, that's okay. That's a little hard for me because I was always Team Mickelson growing up, so I didn't like take joy in a lot of those early Tiger moments. So in a weird way, like as a fan of him, probably today for me.
Really?
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
if that makes,
totally
sense.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I when you asked it, I was like, you can't say today. That's way too recent. And it probably isn't. I mean, just because if he'd have won Valspar when it was a total shock, that probably would have done it. I don't know, the 2000 PGA, making that putt against Bob May and then running it. And then just feeling like that, I don't know if wonderment's the word, but like that feeling of like, he's got 20 more years of this, can do whatever. That's probably what I like, my favorite memory, I would say, but.
Cheers.
I don't know. I mean, I asked the question. I shouldn't have to answer the question. Like growing up, around like near Chicago and just going to the Western Open every year and like going with my friends and like watch, like seeing him in person for the first time, which is so stupid, but I know that anybody listening to this podcast is going to relate. And
holy
you guys
shit,
probably,
he's a real human
well,
being.
Yeah, you guys relate to it too, I'm sure. Just like watching him on TV every week that he plays all week and then actually like seeing him in the flesh and like, oh my God, like that to me growing up, I'm like, oh, like that guy's on the level of like the Pope as like, people have just like these aren't like real people that exist. They're like, oh no, there he is. He's walking right there. And he like just acknowledged this and like hat tip to us. Like, that's incredible. So like one of those days, probably like seeing him for the first time was pretty cool.
I bet if you asked Tiger, he'd say seeing you for the first time.
I agree.
Time
no. I've always it's regrettable. I've never had the chance to ask him about that.
Can I change my answer actually?
Yeah.
1999 Memorial Tournament. 12-year-old me is trying to get a Tiger Woods autograph on the Wednesday afternoon.
What's 12-year-old you like? What's he really fired up about? What's
his
world? What's his world?
Got earrings and both.
Yeah, that was 17.
Cubic zirconia earrings.
Listen, that was 17-year-old me.
Shirt.
Oh, I had two Abercrombie
cargo,
shirts at this point.
Cargo shorts.
Two popped collars.
Yeah. I had cargo shorts on, and I had my Nike golf hat on. I'm trying to get his autograph in between the 10th and 11th hole at Muirfield Village. And like, I got to that spot like a hole and a half in advance to get my position to get the autograph. I had my blue Sharpie and my program out ready to get his autograph. And like, by the time he got there, so many more people had filled in behind me and like next to me. And my arms are just like stuck out into the walkway, reaching out, trying to get his autograph. And like, he comes by and my hat gets knocked off as people are reaching over me and he comes right by and like, I don't even see him, but like, I just like feel him brush up against my hand.
You feel his aura
as he walks, by. And my buddies were kind of behind me and I'm like, hey, did you get the autograph? I'm like, no, I didn't. But like, guys, I think I just wrote on Tiger Woods' shirt. And they're like, sure, like whatever, man. We go up to the tee box and he's talking with Butch Harmon on the tee and he's got a white shirt on and they look at his left chest and he has a blue streak from his left chest all the way across
blue
his sleeve.
Streak. Martin Lawrence.
Like, oh, great movie.
100% I wrote on his shirt with my blue Sharpie. And I have two friends that will testify to this, Ross Babbert and Tony Montalbano, if you're listening. And I go home and I tell my mom this story and she's probably like, yeah, I'm sure, whatever. And like, they show a little news clip and like, and Tiger Woods is in town at the Memorial Tournament. He picks his ball up out of the 18th hole. blue streak as clear as day on TV from his left chest to his left sleeve. That's
my favorite.
That
might be the
Tiger
reason
suit.
That he changes his shirt now.
That like, might be.
That was the original shirt.
Have you left an indelible mark on
I might be responsible for the Sharpie policy of like the players have to have the Sharpies and fans are not supposed to stick them out. So that's 100% true story, by the way.
We're going to get an invoice from Steiny if he hears
this. No doubt. Yeah, $65 for new.
Well, maybe with some juice running too.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Tron, you got to tell us your favorite.
I think it was 2000. I'm going to go 2000 Pebble, but not the U.S. Open.
Oof. That's a good
deep
take.
Cut.
That's your favorite take.
Like, no, I was just thinking about this, and I was like, what was like the moment when everything was like just so, like anything could happen? And I think, yeah. I remember watching him on like 15. I think he holed out. He was playing against Matt Gogol.
That was a Monday finish.
It was a Monday finish. Yeah. And like, you know, there weren't many people on the course, and it was kind of foggy and stuff. And that was fucking awesome. Like, and I just remember, like, I don't know if I was like, you know, I was probably in like freshman study hall or something watching it, like sneaking, you know, into somewhere with a TV, like watching
ducking
that.
Into the computer lab.
Yeah. And it was like, man, that was like to me the ultimate, because it wasn't a major. It was almost more intimate. You know, it was like, hey, yeah. Here's Tiger. Yeah.
But you know what else
that's
is up
the
there?
Thing, dude. The majors don't like spring to mind for whatever reason. I don't know why that is.
This year's PGA, watching it here, and like it does, it takes a lot to get like Tron excited. Yeah. And like every time he stuck an iron, it would just be like, just like this actual.
It's not like Mar from Home Alone.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Like people on Twitter, like they think I don't like Tiger. Yeah. Like I like Tiger. Like he's like.
Yeah, but between shots,
top
even
three
Tron
favorite
is like,
athletes of all time.
Come on,
but
Cat,
I just,
come on.
It just takes me so much to like, I don't want to get my hopes up because I don't want to be disappointed.
It's hard to believe it's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right. I'm exhausted.
Can think of no better way to roll into Ryder Cup week than sharing some best Tiger memories. If you guys haven't signed up for the Ryder Cup contest sponsored by Mizzen and Main, do that. That's a pinned tweet at the top of our Twitter profile. Some incredible prizes from Callaway, from Mizzen and Main, from Travis Matthew, OGO, 32 different winners, totally free to enter. And we already got a lot of signups, but please make sure to sign up for that. And we will be looking forward to hopefully having a podcast for you coming from France next week. Fingers crossed on that one, and bringing the normal heat come Ryder Cup week. Get ready for.
Are you going to France?
I'm going to France.
Yeah. How cool! That'll be great. That. Bon voyage.
By the time this is posted, I'll be gone. So. Is that news to
Randy? Randy just said, "Hey, should we pump the contest?" Like, yeah, I think he just
I
did.
Think I just blacked out. Sorry.
All right. On that note, we're leaving it. Cheers. Enjoy one of the best weeks in all of golf.
Where are we?
Cheers.
Randy's got post Tiger stress disorder.
Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes.
Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most! Expect anything.